Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna!
That sounds like devotees, okay. So are we pessimists, optimists, opportunists, realists? Who are we? Devotees? Are Krishna's mercy towards us? These books is personified mercy of Krishna. Sometimes devotees are accused of being escapists, or sometimes spiritual people are accused of painting the picture of the world too pessimistically, as very bleak. In the Bhagavad Gita, the original pessimist, Lord Shri Krishna, says, Duhkalayam Ashashvatam. This world is the misery machine. Of course, if you use the manual properly, you can produce happiness in this world. You can get happiness in this world. However, Hare Krishna. Material happiness of any level is not completely satisfying. Material happiness makes our body happy, our mind happy, something happy, and so we can enjoy. But we remain unsatisfied. So the classic example is the fish. If you take a fish out of water and you put the best fish food into the fish's mouth, the fish may feel that this is good food. However, the fish will not be really satisfied. So that's us, enjoying in the material world. So, of course, they say that good judgment, there is a virtue. There are four classical virtues. One of them is prudence. Even in English, not many people know what it means. And how do we translate prudence? Rasodnost? Yeah, so good judgment, yeah, rasodnost, okay. When was the last time you heard this word? Rasodnost. Ah? Previdnost? So, they say, good judgment comes from experience. And a lot of that comes from bad judgment. So they say that a mistake is only a mistake if you don't learn from it. But if you use a mistake to learn, then it's not a mistake, it's a lesson. It's a training experience. Yes? So that's the idea of progress. The founder of modern judo, Jigoro Kano, said that judo means to fall 7 times but to stand up 8 times. Hare Krishna. Then you win. Doesn't matter how many times you fall, as long as you stand up one more extra time. Then you are a winner. So, we may argue, how should we see the world? Of course, We have a nice guy called Martin Seligman. So if you know German, you know that Seligman is a happy name. But he's a psychiatrist. Very famous and good psychiatrist. As they sure say, you know, that people who build castles in the sky, air castles, are called neurotic. People who live in those castles in the sky, in air castles, are called psychotic. And the person who collects rent is called a psychiatrist. However, there was another guy, just yesterday I heard, I can't remember clearly, I think somehow Oscar Wilde comes to my mind, but he said that it's okay if you build castles in the sky. That's where the castles belong. They belong in the sky. But after you build a castle in the sky, you must build the foundation under it. So, like we have nice grad in Ljubljana. I think in Slovenia we have many nice fortresses, grads, right? Forts, don't we? It's one of the beautiful things about Slovenia. And so that's nice when it's high. So in our life, it's okay if you build a castle in a high place. But then you need to build a hill under it or a mountain. Then it's okay. You can keep it there. You can be there and you are well protected, right? And you have a castle. And you don't have to pay rent to a psychiatrist. Anyway, so he was, actually he was even ahead of the American Psychiatrist Association, which means he was a very well known. So he, many years ago, he said, why do we study sick people? We should study healthy people. So he started the positive movement, what to do to actually be happy and healthy and mentally well. So one of his famous discoveries, that was many years ago, so I discovered him almost accidentally. One friend sent me an article about him. So... three exercises that guarantee happiness and cure depression, Hare Krishna. You certainly know these exercises. So many years ago discovered this phenomenon called learned optimism and learned pessimism. Yeah, he had these dogs who were shocked with electricity. And then they were tied, they couldn't jump. So then, because they were tied, chained. So then after some time, they unchained them. They were unchained, there was no chain. And again, there was some electricity in the floor. So they felt the stinging shock, but they didn't even try to jump. It was learned helplessness. You might have heard learned helplessness. They learned, they got used to be helpless. So Srila Prabhupada uses a very interesting term, conditioning. We are conditioned. So this means we already have scenarios, programs, algorithms in our mind. How we act, and they're called anarthas. Yes, anarthas. Anarthas in different scenarios, how we act. So therefore, he he did a lot of study that people who are optimistic will be healthier, live longer, be more successful, and so forth. A lot of good stuff in that research. So then we end up, knowing, yes, I must be a learned optimist. I should train to be optimistic. Yes, I should. Yes, we will. Venceremos, we will win. Yes, we try harder. And we motivate ourselves. So then we might motivate ourselves to the point that we, now the World Health Organization has recognized the medical condition called burnout. First it was Belgium. 1 or 2 years ago, now it's the World Health Organization that burnout is a medical condition. Burnout? You know burnout. Huh? So therefore you have a guy who's written a book called Begeistert zum Tod, motivated to death. Motivated to work so hard, he has no life left. So therefore, we are afraid of optimism, afraid of motivation, afraid of all of these, we call them pep talks, be inspired, go ahead. And we are afraid because we know, oh my God, what is the result? The result is burnout. We will run, and then die. so many stories are there. So, optimism or pessimism? So certainly we have a very nice and famous classic story about the glasses. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Which one is the correct approach? So then we have a nice note about the third version. Dear optimist, pessimist, and realist, while you guys were arguing about the glass of water being half full or half empty, I drank it. The opportunist. That's not what we do. We do not drink the glass. What do? Offer to Krishna. Correct. Yes. We see it's Krishna's water, Krishna's glass, Krishna's air. By the way, it's glass is never empty. Let me get my. This is air. It's not empty. Okay. So it's never empty. Depends how we use it. So we offer to Krishna. How we see? Glass is Krishna's, air is Krishna's, water is Krishna's. So if we see like this, then we are already in the spiritual world. So every element is already Krishna's energy, already a devotee. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, we do not hate the elements, the material elements, because they are all devotees. They are all Vaishnavas. They are all connected to Krishna. They are all expansions of the Lord's energy. So if you see them in this proper way, then this is a very harmonious, holistic, realistic, and positive vision. That's the correct vision. So therefore, you see, we even have a very interesting verse in the Bhagavatam, this is the Bhagavatam, where he is called a realist. So this is a verse about Kali, this age of quarrel, age of iron, age of misfortune, so many different things. And the sages in Naimisharanya were surprised, why didn't he kill Kali? So this verse says, Maharaj Parikshit was a realist, like the bee, who accepts only the essence of a flower. What's the essence of a flower? Nectar, yes. He knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, one explanation, auspicious acts, auspicious means good, in a simple language, very good, to be more precise. Auspicious means creating good fortune. Auspicious acts produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effects. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. So you can see his, it illustrates how Srila Prabhupada uses the word envy. So he uses it as a hostility. Sovrashto. Yeah? He was never hostile, inimical, never hated even Kali. If we have anything like devil or Satan, that would be probably the closest to, I don't know, Kali or something, you know, in terms of things he does in this world. So he didn't kill. Why? Because it's very interesting. In fact, in Sanskrit, it is Sarabhuk. Sarabhuk. Yeah, I can see Sara, which devotees like as a name also, right? Because it's both Saraswati and Sara also, you know, there's a name like this. So Sara means essence. And Saranga is a bee. I think this is not, no, it's not working. Yeah. So Saranga. Sara, he goes, ga, to Sara, to the essence. So basically what we would call this is more like a positivist. In you know, I think we could call it even better an essentialist. So I suggest that when people ask us, are you an optimist or a pessimist, you say, I'm an essentialist. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests, that be a Saragrahi Vaishnava. Saragrahi, that you take Sara, Saram means at the essence. So take the honey from the flower, take the nectar from the flower, take the Siddhi Prah, which is super, in a non-violent way, which is a super healthy superfood. So you can see Srila Prabhupada calls him a realist when the Sanskrit that he translates is an essentialist, one who finds and accepts the essence, finds and accepts the essence. And he's called here Kushala. So Kushalani, this is auspicious or expert activities. Auspicious or expert wonderful activities. So we have another verse in the 11th canto, which we are now studying, about the 24 gurus. So in the Bhagavatam we learn how we can see all the constituent elements, all the elements of this world as gurus, as teachers. And it says that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you see all the elements as gurus, then you will see the world not as an enjoyer, but you will see them as, you know, as a servant. And usually we want to associate with a guru. Guru is the first and foremost characteristic of a guru is that he is a well-wisher. He's a well-wisher. Guru also is the name of Jupiter. So in astrology, for example, Jupiter is the most auspicious planet. So even if Jupiter in somebody's birth chart is very, very, unfortunate or dangerous, still, when Jupiter Guru Dasha comes, all the teachers and texts say that still you will get some wonderful things. You will still get something wonderful. Still you will get something good. So that's guru as a planet. But if you have gurus all the time, and who has a guru? Let me ask you. Who has some guru? Good. Who thinks it's a good idea to have a guru? Yes. So, who has some positive experience of associating with some guru? Okay. So, sometimes it's a real blessing. Real blessing. It really can transform our life. So, if we see all the elements around us as gurus, and everybody is a guru, that, you know, that means your life is full of very auspicious, wonderful experiences. Your whole life is like that. You are always in the association of your best well-wisher. So that's the lesson. So one of the gurus here is Shat Pada. Shat means six, Pada means foot. So a six-footer, six-feeter. Who is a six-feeter? Yes, a bee, a honeybee. So that's a very nice verse. Anobhyascha mahadbhyascha shastrabhya kushalo nara. Just as a honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take kushalo. Means also expert. That you really learned how to... You've mastered the art of life. An intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures, all texts. So we can find the nectar, we can find the honey, we can find the essence everywhere, in everything, and learn, serve, respect, get blessings. So the world around us is full of blessings, full of lessons, full of good things. Do you remember, it was me who gave the class last Sunday, right? And we had one exercise, didn't we, for this week? Didn't we?
Yes.
What was it? Criticism fast, except on Wednesday. Who used Wednesday? I did. I'm still worried about it. I wrote a letter. I still didn't get a reply. I'm not sure if did I go too far, or I'm not. I'm still thinking. Anxiously. who stopped yourself at least once from criticizing something or somebody? Yes, very good. Okay, very good. Please notice those who raise their hands are smiling. So there are many ways to do it, to not criticize, to be... So you can see here, Parikshit Maharaj was not overly critical of Kali Maharaj. He didn't kill him, which is sort of the ultimate criticism. Also, it was the prerogative of Parikshit. He was the ruler of the planet. So that's why you see some traces of the Vedic culture all around the world, because it was one Vedic empire. Long ago. So he was the Saragrahi, Saraga, he took essence, and even in Kali he found something good. Just like right now, we are using the mic, as Prabhupada is saying, we are using the screen, I'm using this amazing five function pointer. There's also, you see, there is a pen at the end, you see. So, and you're using radio and mics and Hare Krishna, some people are probably there. So, Kali is engaged very thoroughly in service of Krishna Katha, of devotees of Krishna. So you can see Parikshit sort of found something positive in Kali. And that's our task. This is what also we want to learn, to become thank you. It's warm. Kushala, to become expert, to become a master, meaning finding essence in everything. Chanakya Pandit, in his famous Niti Darpana, gives an interesting example of how to learn from a lion. He says you should learn one thing from a lion, one from a crane, four from a cock, five from a crow, six from a dog, and three from an ass. Yes. Now, which one? Actually, I remember the first time I heard it from our Vamshivat from Croatia in Sweden, in IBBT, when he came with a box of fruits for prasadam, and he said, when you do something, you do something. You do it like a lion. This is what Chanakya Pandit says. The one excellent thing that can be learned from a lion that is that whatever a man intends doing should be done by him with a wholehearted and strenuous effort. If you do. Do it. So, eat fruits, bring the box. He shared. So, anyway, so that was the first time I heard, and then I found, oh, it's from Chanakya. And actually, it's a very classic lesson. Yes. Then from a crane. What do you learn? One thing. You can see he's standing on one leg. So what we need to learn is that we focus. We can restrain our senses and the mind. Focus on one thing. This way it will be effective. So this is a crane. Now from a rooster or a cock, what do we learn? We learn how many things? Four, right? Wake at the proper time. Take a bold stand and fight. I was recently attacked by a swan. Yes. To make a fair division of property among relations. And to earn one's own bread by personal exertion. He goes and he works for his food. As who said? Yeah, another devotee said that his grandmother said, if you didn't work and you eat, the bread you eat is crying. You did not deserve me. Now, the crow, Hare Krishna, union with one's wife or husband in privacy, boldness, storing away useful items, watchfulness, not easily trusting others. So these are the five things we can learn from a crow. Yes. A dog, six things. You know six things from a dog? You don't. Some of you do. Faithfulness, yeah, that's very famous. So, contentment with little or nothing to eat. So, there are different translations. So, basically, the six things. You have little, you're happy. You have a lot, you eat, and you're happy. Sleep. You can sleep at any place, any time, any amount of time. And you sleep a little, you're happy. You sleep a lot, you're happy. So that's four. two more, is faithfulness and bravery. Sometimes it's a teeny little dog and doesn't care that you are big or what, he just attacks. That's commendable. This is praiseworthy and a lesson to learn. Okay. A donkey. Although an ass is tired, he continues to carry his burden. Hare Krishna. He is unmindful of cold and heat. I don't know if he uses that kind of word of like unmindful. It's, he doesn't care so much. He's not concerned. He doesn't complain so much, you know. Cold, all right. Hot, all right. And he's always contented, satisfied. A donkey. So, you know, you should take lessons from a donkey. It's a very rare skill to be satisfied. Okay, so Chanakya says, he who shall practice these 20 virtues shall become invincible in all his undertakings. Hare Krishna. So you can see, you can learn from a donkey, you can learn from a dog, and become invincible in all your undertakings. So that's the example of being a saragrahi, and a Vaishnava is supposed to be like this, to be able to always find something good. And as a Madhyam Bhakta, or in, a devotee on the intermediate level of advancement, that's a must. If you don't see good, you can't teach, preach, or have any relationship. You must be able to... Maybe you see the bad, you're not blind, but you don't forget to see the good. That's the only thing that inspires, actually. So... who are we? We are essentialists. So we use yukta vairagya of offering everything and using everything for Krishna, to Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. This way we will be always in the association of our well-wishing gurus. Even if these are just material elements, even if these are dogs and donkeys, we can learn and become invincible in our Krishna conscious life. So that's our process, essentialism. Not optimism, not opportunism, not pessimism, but essentialism. So find the essence, and everything is Krishna's. That's the essence. Krishna says, everything is strung on me like pearls on a thread. That's the essence. Hare Krishna. Okay, some comment. Okay, I see. Okay, who has a question or a comment? Can you please raise your... We have one question.
Is it Mayavada to see Guru as your divine nature, or your divine nature as a Guru, and what is the next step? If this is a Mayavada approach, or is it Bhakti?
This is what Krishna says in Canto 11, Chapter 7, verse, I don't remember which, around somewhere in the beginning. He says that, yes, you can learn even from yourself. And this is how. So you can see, it's described how. So, it's not Mayavad. Mayavad is when you say that that Krishna is everywhere except in the temple. And everybody is God except God. That's Mayavad. It's very weird. So Mayavad, when you declare the divine form of Krishna to be Maya. So everything is Maya, and Krishna, they also declare to be illusion. Or not real. So that's just a mistake. I mean, it's a rather flat and simplistic view, not understanding the spiritual nature that there can be a spiritual world, that there can be a spiritual form, that there can be spiritual activity which is free from illusion, and there can be Krishna, who is wonderful, wonderful absolute personality. That's my thought. Otherwise, seeing divine nature everywhere, that's no problem. Seeing oneness, that's part half of our philosophy also. That yes, everything is Krishna's energy, and in that sense, yes, that's all. Everything is one. Everybody is one, like one family, one in interest, one in quality, one in nature. So we are all brothers and sisters, or at least cousins.
Thank you.
In Krishna's family. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, this is the philosophical approach, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very mercifully provides a magic catalyst to help us break through the veil of Maya, which covers the divine essence of everybody and everything. And what is this divine magic method? It is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we watch, we sing, and we see how all the elements are offered to the Lord, to learn how to offer everything to the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dear essentialists,